every temptation that comes his way, he refutes with or answers with a verse of Scripture. I cannot overemphasize that. That's my emphasis today more than anything.
Welcome to Redeemed, a podcast by Pastor Wes Gunther of Cedar Hill Baptist Church in Dillsburg, Pennsylvania. Thank you for joining us today.
We have enough problem dealing with sin as it is around us. We're going to try to balance a little bit here the fact that Satan does not have the attributes of God. At the same time, he's powerful. Satan is not omnipresent. He can't be everywhere at one time. Last we heard, there's some, 8 billion people on the face of the earth. 8 billion people, so he's probably not taking time out of his schedule to worry about me. Not that there isn't plenty in his arsenal to attack me with. You understand what I'm saying? But he went directly after Jesus Christ. Like one-on-one, very intentionally, focused only on Jesus Christ. Now, here's Jesus Christ in the flesh, right? He's taken on flesh. He is somehow, and again, this is what I mean, we don't understand all that there is about God. He is somehow 100% God and 100% man simultaneously. We have a hard time comprehending that. Our mind doesn't quite grasp the fullness of that. But here's God become man walking around us. But in the flesh, I think Satan himself doesn't know how far he can push this, right? Or if there are cracks here, Satan knows it is futile, absolutely pointless to try to tempt God on the throne of heaven. But if God becomes flesh and dwells among us, is there a chance that he can get the flesh side of Jesus to stumble? Is there a chance he can do it? I don't think Satan knows. I don't think he knew. I think he knows now. But he didn't know as he went into that. And so Satan begins to tempt him. So there's a practical application that Jesus was going to endure temptation as a perfect example for you and me. Then we have Satan trying to break the gospel. God's perfect plan of redemption. This isn't the first time Satan tried it, right? Remember when Herod found out babies born Bethlehem, one of them was going to be king of the Jews. Herod didn't understand what all that meant, but he feared for his job. And he put out a verdict that all the babies born at that place at that time were to be killed. Mary and Joseph had to take the Christ child and flee to Egypt for a while until that passed. Why did Satan allow that to happen? Why did Satan prompt that to happen? God allowed it to happen. Satan prompted it to happen. Why? Why did Satan do that? Well, he was trying to see if he could stomp out the Christ child while Christ was still an infant in the flesh, not thinking for himself as a human would. I'm not trying to diminish the God side, but he was an infant form. And so Satan went after him then. Satan's going after him now at a weak time. Jesus is getting ready for ministry. Jesus has grown up. We don't know much about his late childhood or early adult years. We don't know much about that. We have the one event of him getting lost on the way back because he's still in the temple teaching. We have that one story of him as a child. But other than that, we don't know a lot about Jesus as a teenager or as a young adult. The Bible comes to us here and says he's about, 30. We just read that. He's about 30. He just got baptized. The Holy Spirit descended like a dove. The voice of God spoke. His earthly ministry is going to start now. Whatever he did before that, did he help with Joseph in the cabinet shop making furniture? For Joseph was a carpenter. Did he do that? It's likely. That would be the usual thing children would have done as they grew up, was to work in dad's business, so maybe he was a carpenter. He was definitely the son of a carpenter. We don't know what he did in those early years. And now he's beginning his ministry. He's done with that. He's left home. He's going to begin to circulate around the countryside of Israel and go through Samaria. There's going to be miracles, parables, teaching, all that. The crowds begin to grow. All that's just starting. And as he begins to start that, he goes to be baptized. The Bible tells us in the beginning of chapter 4, as he leaves the Jordan River, he goes for 40 days of testing, 40 days of fasting, 40 days of preparation. He abstains from food. He's very weak. Physically weak. And I've shared some things that I've witnessed on that. I have not gone 40 days without food. I don't think I've gone 4 full days without food. So I can't put myself in those shoes. I've watched, and I shared this as an illustration a couple years ago, but I've watched some of the episodes of that National Geographic show Alone, where they take different people and they put them out on an island. They have to survive. They have to survive off their own resources. They're allowed to take like one thing, an axe or a fishing hook, or, you know, it's one thing. And what, you know, whoever stays the longest wins the competition, so to speak. What is it that gets them? Every now and then, one of them will get hurt sometimes, but usually what gets them is hunger. Hunger. They're starving. To the point that the doctor sometimes will come in and say, you've starved yourself too much, and they take him out of the game, you know. These people are, listen, if you stay, you win $1 million. If you go home today, you can have a hamburger. And most of them go home for a hamburger. Why? Because I'm just saying, they're so hungry. They're starving, literally. They're skin and bones, most of them, from what they used to be. It's really hard to go find your own food in the middle of the forest, you know. Sounds good. Really hard for it to be practical. And I'm saying that for this. That's the picture that I have. Jesus, 40 days in the wilderness, he's really, really, really hungry. We see pictures of people today willing to give up $1 million to eat a meal. So when Satan comes to him to tempt him when he's hungry, it's not by accident. It's very intentional, and you're very vulnerable when you're that hungry. Satan comes to him and gives him these three temptations. And I don't know, again, I find them somewhat perplexing, the things that Satan picks. You know, he has there in verse 3, the first one's food, right? If you're the Son of God, make the stone become bread. Right? And that sounds like a practical thing, like Satan's just warming up here, right? Satan's like, I know you're really hungry. You're God. You made everything. Why don't you just make this bread and eat it? Doesn't sound like, right? Listen to me. Satan's not tempting him to do something evil, other than Satan's tempting him to follow Satan's command. Jesus says, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone. And so just let me point out once again, you'll see it in verse 4, you'll see it in verse 8, you'll see it in verse 12. Jesus answers every temptation with the Word of God. Every temptation that comes his way, he refutes with or answers with a verse of Scripture. I cannot overemphasize that. That's my emphasis today more than anything. When temptation comes our way, I said that at the beginning of the time we had together. As I prayed before the message today, God's prepared our hearts in worship and in song, in fellowship, and listening to the special music, and hearing the piano play and the instruments play. God's prepared our hearts. He's prepared our hearts for what? For opening the Word of God. Listen to me. As important as all of those elements are to the Sunday morning service, when the Satan comes to attack you, do not start whistling a song. That's not going to defend you. What will defend you? The Word of God. The Word of God. You have to know the Bible. It's so important that, listen, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. We have to know the Word of God. Satan tends not to tempt us when the Word of God is open and we're reading it. He tempts us when the Word of God is on our nightstand and we're at the store. We're in front of the TV. We're on our laptop or a tablet. He tempts us then. He doesn't tempt us when we're reading the Word of God. He tempts us when we tend to be away from the Word of God. So we better know the Word of God to defend ourselves when he tempts us. Three times tempted, three times Jesus Christ quoted Scripture as his defense. So he's teaching us. There's a teaching moment for Jesus Christ, teaching us what to do. He had just, by his example, been baptized. Now he's showing us how to endure temptation. When Satan comes and wants you to go astray, the Word of God is our weapon. Brother Joe, in his Sunday school class last week, he talked about the full armor of God. Full armor of God, there's one weapon that is clearly an offensive weapon. The sword. You pick up the sword, we can fight off the fiery darts of the evil one. We have to know the sword. We have to know the Word of God. We have to, it has to be part of us. We have to memorize it and study it and know it. That is our defense. But I wanted to just very quickly summarize these three temptations. First one was make stone bread. Second one, I find, and I think I spent more time studying this second one than I did any other part of my message this week. The devil said, verse 5, devil take him up on a high mountain, showed unto him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. So we see some of the power that Satan does have. Shows him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time, and then said, all this power will I give thee, and the glory of them. For that is delivered unto me, and to whomsoever I will, I give it. If thou wilt worship me, all shall be thine. Again, in my finite mind, that seems like a pointless thing. For Jesus Christ sits on the glory of all eternity in the heavens to come. But he wasn't sitting on the throne right then. He was in the wilderness, very hungry. When Satan comes and says, I'll give you the power. Listen, I think from Satan's perspective, the best I can do here, right? Again, I'm trying to put, what is Satan thinking as he's attacking Jesus with this? Satan sees the Son of God who's been on the throne of heaven, now humbled in the dirt and dust of mankind. He's in the wilderness. He's hungry. He's alone. Satan says, you know what? I'll give you the power over these kingdoms if you just worship me. You can have the power over these kingdoms right now. Satan has power over those kingdoms? That's the question. And I think that's a big theological question. Listen, the king's heart is in the hand of the Lord. He moveth it whithersoever he willeth. At the same time, Satan has some power over the things that are going on, especially the evil in the world. And Jesus Christ in John chapter 12, verse 31, calls him the prince of the air, the prince and the power of the air. So he has some authority and some power. It is all at God's own will. We know that from the story of Job, right? When Job wanted to attack him, he had to get permission from God to do that. So we don't want to underestimate the power that Satan had. I think Satan was able to delegate or give him temporal, earthly authority over a temporal, earthly kingdom at that time. In fact, this is the case as we look at all three of these. All three of these temptations, listen, are temporal, short-lived, immediate gratification. which led me to this conclusion. Everything Satan tempts us with is temporal and immediate gratification. That's what he tempts us with. Satan doesn't tempt. Jesus Christ says this: I'm the way, the truth, and the life. I go to prepare a place for you, that where I am, there ye may be. He promises us things like eternity. He promises us this: you will be adopted children of mine, and will live with me forevermore. All that I have is thine. Jesus says, lay up treasure in heaven where moth and rust don't corrupt, where thieves cannot break through and steal. Do that. Eternal promises. Satan says, hey, I can make you happy right now, today. Hey, Adam and Eve, take of the tree that you're not supposed to eat. When? Right now, because it looks good to eat right now. It'll make you wise right now. God says, you will surely die. Sin will run rampant if you do, but Adam and Eve see the immediate gratification of disobeying God. And the temptation that Satan brings us today is immediate gratification. It's temporal. It's short term. It's take this drug, you'll feel better today. Drink this bottle, it'll make your problems go away right now. Hey, Satan, what happens after the drug wears off? Don't worry about that, because your problems will be there plus some more. Hey, Satan, what happens when that drunken binge wears off? Well, your problem will still be there, and you'll have a splitting headache, and you've destroyed your liver. But go ahead. Right, Satan never gives us the end result. It's immediate gratification. Follow your lust, follow your desire, follow your want, get what you want right now. And all the things he tempted Jesus Christ with were temporal and immediate. Go ahead, make that stone bread. Go ahead, I'll give you dominion over these temporary government structures right here. Whether or not he had authority to do that, that's another question, but that's what he offered. Go ahead, jump off the top of the temple. The angels will pick you up. The people will be amazed. The people will stand there and go, wow, look at that. Go ahead. Do these things for immediate satisfaction, immediate gratification. Jesus quoted scripture every single time. Listen, here's the crux of the matter. Here's what I want you to get out of today's message. Two things: the importance of knowing the Word of God and using it as our defense. And number two, remembering that Satan's attack is always temporal. It's always now. He never paints the picture down the road. He never tells you the end result. He never tells you what's really at stake and where it's really going. He always tells you about it right now. Go ahead. Follow your desires. Go ahead. Talk to that girl. Yes, it'll destroy your marriage and your kids and your family, but we'll worry about that later. Today, why don't you go talk to her? Today, why don't you take that drink? Today, why don't you go ahead and take those pills? Go ahead, today. Today you should follow your heart, because it will make you feel good right now. Jesus says, lay up treasure in heaven. There's a big picture here. There's a long-term plan. And he tried to tempt Jesus Christ with, listen, immediate gratification. He was hungry. He was physically weak. He was depleted. Satan attacked. I think it's important that we understand how to stand up under temptation and the example of Jesus Christ is the picture we have to look at how to do that.
Thank you for listening to Redeemed. For more information, you can email us at pastorwesgunther@gmail.com. Thank you.